The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Those numbers will get you on the air here in this hour of conversation, the Ask the Pastor Hour. By the way, I want to promote our Good Friday conversation, a very special conversation this Friday. We'll have a round table. We've done this in the past, in years past, and it's always enjoyable. We will have Dr. Rick Mars and Pastors Tim Ostermeyer and Pastor Mark Femmel will be here for our roundtable on Friday. That is a two-hour roundtable from 10 o'clock until noon, with the subject being this thing we call the theology of the cross. Well, let's stand at the foot of the cross and look at the cross, since it will be Good Friday, and see what it has to say to us about the theology of the cross. That's our Good Friday roundtable here on the Bible Study. Let's say good morning and welcome to Dr. Victor Belton. He is pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, sir, and good morning to the listening audience.
I remember for a long time you went through something of a drought down in the Atlanta area, and then I think you got more rain than you could possibly want. We've had some bad weather around the country. How about Atlanta? How are you doing down there?
We're doing fairly well in this spring season, but we are subject to some inclement weather and some tornadoes blowing through and that kind of thing.
Are the Georgia peach trees in bloom?
Peach trees, you know, it's the same thing here as there. The dogwoods are in. The cherry blossoms have finished. The azaleas are beginning to pop, along with the crepe myrtles, I think they are.
Oh, I love the crepe myrtle.
Yeah, and so we've got all kinds of things blooming here for your allergy season.
Well, now, Dr. Belton, I'm almost reluctant to do this, but I think this is a subject that we have to address. I hope I don't offend any of our listeners here, but there is eternity at stake here. And this was sent to me by a fairly young person, and 30-ish type person.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know what, I think I can take this up with Dr. Victor Belton. Have you heard of Lady Gaga?
I have indeed.
I'm not quite sure what to do with your tone.
The whole world has gone after Lady Gaga. What are we to do?
I think you've summarized it nicely. Well, she has released a brand new song, and apparently it has been released here within proximity to our coming Easter season, coinciding to a certain extent with Holy Week, and the name of the song is Judas. Now, let me just read some of these lyrics to you. No surprise to you, I won't be able to read them all because this is a family show.
Yeah.
But let me just read some of the lyrics to you. With this in mind, the fact that you probably have young people, young men, young women, particularly young men, who go around with iPods stuck in their ears and could be listening to this and looking right at you with a big smile on his or her face.
Yeah, I could be that guy sometime.
All right, well, it says, oh, 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 who, I'm in love with Judas, Judas. Then she repeats Judas about six times, and she says, Judas, 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 Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1, when he comes to me, I am ready. I'll wash his feet with my hair if he needs. Now, she's singing about Judas.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive him when his tongue lies through his brain. Even after three times, he betrays me. I'll bring him down, down. A king with no crown, king with no crown. Here's the chorus. I'm just a holy fool. Oh, baby, he's so cruel. But I'm still in love with Judas, baby. I'm just a holy fool. Oh, baby, he's so cruel. But I'm still in love with Judas, baby. Now, there's more, but let's just stop there.
Yeah.
What do you think Lady Gaga is trying to tell us here during Holy Week?
I have absolutely less than no idea. it's interesting. If we were to ask Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, what his disposition would be toward Judas, you'd think he might say, I'm in love with Judas. But he betrayed you. Yeah, he did. But I love him nevertheless. And I'll serve him. And I'll forgive him. Even if he has to suffer perdition because of his actions, that does not mean that Jesus doesn't love him. Now, I'm not thinking that Lady Gaga is necessarily that kind of theological thinker. So I'm not sure exactly what she means to do in mixing the metaphor of washing the feet of Judas with her hair, like the Mary, I think it was, who wet Jesus' feet with her tears and then wiped them with her hair. I'm not thinking she's that good a theologian. I could be deceived, but I'm not thinking she is. But the thing of forgiveness, the way that forgiveness rings, is interesting in this song. I would be careful about getting any theological import whatever, or any theological or systematic position from what Lady Gaga is singing in this particular song.
And I think that's pretty good counsel. I'm guessing that there is in the world the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
I'm not guessing that. I know that.
Yeah.
But the spirit of Antichrist, I think, motivates those people who are anti-Christian to sound or talk kind of like this. So if Jesus is the one we venerate, if Jesus is the one we adore, if Jesus is the one we worship in the season of Lent or in the coming season of Easter, then the spirit of Antichrist, I think, would talk like this. The question is for you, Dr. Belton. I don't think that, as you point out, that there's really all that much theology here in these verses. There is just that ever-present desire on the part of somebody to poke his or her finger into our Christian eye. And how should we respond to that? Should we shake our heads and say, well, that's too bad for Lady Gaga, and move on? Should we pray for her? Should we, not that you and I would ever have the chance, but somebody probably will have the chance to speak to her about this? Or should we push back? Should we take advantage of our radio program here today to condemn this kind of thing, to condemn her, and to reject these heretical lyrics? What do we do?
The answer is yes. We reject these heretical lyrics. not a problem. Absolutely. Christian folks, this is not edifying kind of music for us to fill our minds with. And so without a question, we want to engage people in that way. The other thing that I think we'd like to say is Satan masquerades, well, this is 2 Corinthians 11, right? Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And what he loves to do is take a half a truth and press that forward. Does that when Jesus is being tempted, doesn't he? If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of this temple, because it says he'll give his angels charge over you. And so he uses the word of God in a way that's twisted, and what that does is, or is designed to do probably, is to cast the doubt on the entire writ of God. And so Lady Gaga, unfortunately, as we pray for her, has become one of the tools of the angel of light in the earth, who is twisting and contorting this word of God and the grace and forgiveness of God as well. And so all of that, we resist it, We tell our members that this is not a sound theological place or a reasonable place to invest their time and energy in terms of listening, and we pray for her as she is as she's lost. You know, every once in a while, God does a tremendous thing with a pop artist who comes to faith in Him, and the same could well happen for Lady Gaga. So we certainly pray as she is being carried on the shoulders of a variety of young men in an egg, whatever that means. That what an Easter image that is, huh?
Well, no.
Lady Gaga in a painted egg being carried on the shoulders of men. But we certainly pray for her as she is twisted in this way and not seeing clearly.
Now, there's probably a young person or two, teenager, maybe even younger, with an iPod or some kind of a personal listening device, who is grooving on Lady Gaga and her affection for Judas, pumping that stuff directly into his or her brain, maybe even as we speak, which, you know, you and I can lament the what appears to be the somewhat wayward career of Lady Gaga, but the damage that she may be doing can reach Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia.
Oh, certainly.
Now, is this on your mind? Do you feel like walking up to that 17-year-old kid there on the, you know, standing outside the church and saying, "Hey, what do you got on that iPod there? What are you listening to?"
Oh, absolutely. I check in with my young folk all the time.
And what do they say to you when you ask them that question?
You know, as a matter of fact, I'm on Facebook, and I'm a friend of many of my teens. And when I see them doing something or saying something or acting in a way that's inappropriate, I always remind them with a little text, "Your pastor's out here looking at this stuff." and what the other teens do with them is go, "Oh, see, now you're busted," and so I think just checking in and finding out what they're listening to, and typically they're
going to get unfriended.
That's never happened.
Really?
Yeah, that's never happened to me in this context. I've never been unfriended by a kid. I don't know why. I have seen them clean up their behavior, though, and I've seen them clean up their language. Now, that doesn't mean that they have ceased doing what they were doing at all, but it does definitely mean that they're conscious that their behavior needs to be transformed in some ways. And I think that's a major part of our call, is to just call folks to a higher place and remind them of who they are in Christ and remind them of what their calling is before God and how they are to walk as the ambassadors of Christ in the earth. And so it matters how they talk, and it matters what they listen to, and their testimony and their witness to all of that matters for all of their peers.
I can remember some of the older folks when I was young, as we were enjoying the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, just kind of shaking their heads.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, you know, what's this younger generation coming to? Blah, blah, blah." We've come quite some distance from Mick Jagger's Let's Spend the Night Together, which Ed Sullivan wouldn't allow him to sing on the Ed Sullivan program, to this lyric here from Lady Gaga. This is the bridge from the song Judas. She says, "In the most biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Fame hooker, prostitute wench, vomits her mind. But in the cultural sense, I just speak in future tense. Judas, kiss me, if offensed." Then I can't read the next line. Then she goes on to say, "I want to love you, but something's pulling me away from you. Jesus is my virtue. Judas is the demon I cling to. Then she goes back to the chorus, "I'm just a holy fool, oh baby, he's so cruel, but I'm still in love with Judas, baby." So she has managed, if you thought she was flirting around with some theological themes here, she has managed in this part of the song to pull Jesus into it, to use the word biblical sense. She's front and center now. So what are you going to do with that, Pastor?
Yes, she is. You know what? I'm going to remind you of a song. In a Garden da Vida, baby.
Oh, yeah. That's Genesis.
Yeah. So it's not that strange.
I mean, that's about Genesis, not the band Genesis.
Yeah, it's about Genesis. So it's not that strange. I mean, we just come full circle. I mean, it's the enemy doing what the enemy has always done and what the enemy will continue to do, which is not take the name of the Lord seriously, but to use his name in vain. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Christian people, if there were some Christian people who actually lived out their Christianity, and one of them was on the board or a decision maker for whatever company she records for, and he would say, you know what, I'm not making that record.
Oh, that guy's fired.
That's crap. that's just mess. I'm not doing that. And you can fire me and you can do whatever else you'd like to do, but I'm telling you that there is some value in the arts, and there is some value in music, but there is no value in the thing that she wants to do.
Well, that raises the question about the so-called church militant. It used to be, and still is in some cases, that there would be a section in the church hymnal about the church militant, the church marching forward, onward Christian soldiers, things like that. Then there were some denominations that took out the militant hymns because, well, it was, you know, they wanted to be pacifists. They didn't want to be warlike. Now, it appears that Lady Gaga is advancing on our territory. Are we going to roll over, Pastor? Are we supposed to be church militant or what?
We are church militant, but church militant doesn't mean that we're going on the Crusades again. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean we're going to enter into the ring in the same way that Lady Gaga has.
Then what does it mean?
Because we have a forum in which to fight this battle, but the forum is not in the kingdom of the left, where we say we're taking you to court because you've maligned the name of Jesus, and we're just not going to stand for that, because then we begin to look much more like the world. Our forum is KFUO. Our forum is the pulpits on Sunday morning. Our forum, the Bible classes that we teach, both our adults and our young people. Those are our forums. And so we need to use our forums well. I mean, this stuff sometimes boggles my mind. You know, where's the godly banker who's saying, you know what, we can't write this loan. I don't care how much money we can't write this because it's just not just. It's not right and it's not proper. Where's the godly physician that says, you know, it's just ungodly to charge $850 for one pill? Where are the people of God in this society as it continues headlong?
Well, where are they? That's an excellent question. What's the answer to that question? Where are they?
Well, you church militant over and against the church that's sleeping. I think we're asleep in it. I think we've been lulled to sleep pretty much by by the cares of the world and the worries of the world. We've landed in that place that we were warned about not landing in when Jesus taught the parable of the soils. The one that the seed that falls in the midst of the briar patch, and so the seed begins to sprout, but then the worries of the world, where's the money coming from? How am I going to dress myself? How am I going to clothe myself? What am I going to eat? What are people going to think about me? What if I really say that, then I will lose my job. The worries and cares of the world then choke out the vitality of the seed. Lord, have mercy upon us in this Lenten season, in this Holy Week. Forgive us for the ways that we have not represented you well in the world, and give us the energy once again to rise up, to be the church militant, and to say to Gagas and those like her, this is not a godly thing and we will not support it.
I don't want to put any pastors anywhere on a guilt trip. That is not my purpose in asking this next question. But Do you think that pastors should be writing to their local newspapers or maybe starting blogs where they can write, where they can address things like this? It's one thing to sit in your Bible class on Sunday morning, Pastor, with all those familiar people. It's another thing to step outside of that bubble and enter the marketplace of ideas and go on the record there.
Now, you have to know some of my best friends are pastors.
Really?
So I'm careful about the way that, but yes, I absolutely think so. That do you know that for free, no dollars at all, I've been able to engage on the internet for free. I've been able to teach Bible studies online through this site called, and I guess we can mention it, Justin.tv, and. But you can't, there's no way of monitoring who's going to come in.
Yeah.
And so one has to be prepared then and confident enough to deal with the new ager who comes in and says, you know, that's all a bunch of noise and nonsense. Yes, I think pastors should be more in the public square. And I think we should use the technology in ways that will enable us to more effectively proclaim the gospel. So, yes, absolutely. Pastors should be using the technology.
Well, you know, I'm not actually asking the question about whether or not we should be using the technology, although that is a secondary question. But if you write a letter to the editor, Dr. Belton, and it gets printed in what's your local newspaper down there?
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah, been done.
Is that paper to the left of center, right of center? Can you tell editorially speaking?
I don't know. Is it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? I mean, sometimes it seems left of center. Sometimes it seems right of center. It just depends on the prevailing wind that's blowing and
well, you know, once,
trying to defend the governor or the mayor.
Once Dr. Belton, theoretically anyway, writes to the Atlanta Constitution Journal there and rips, well, maybe that's a bit of a strong term, rejects Lady Gaga's lyrics here, and particularly the release of this song and the ringtone that's available with it, by the way, I thought you'd like to know.
Oh, yeah.
In Holy Week, you know, there are going to be some people who are going to go, who's this Victor Belton guy and who does he think he is? I love Lady Gaga. Shut your mouth. And, well, now you got a problem, don't you?
Well, see, Christians are supposed that we're supposed to have problems in the earth.
We got plenty, Pastor. We don't have to go looking for more.
So. We wouldn't have been looking for a problem with Lady Gaga. The problem exists in the earth, and so we expect that when we stand up for things that are right, that there'll be some blowback. In fact, I have occasionally done some things and said some things repeatedly, waiting for the blowback because of the pushback from people, because I'm wondering, where are you functioning and what are you thinking?
Pastor, I'm going to try to sneak a phone call in here before we get to the bottom of the hour, and Randy is calling from Atlanta. Hi, Randy, you're on the Bible study.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to say that I think this is a great opportunity for Christians to come and share their faith. It's an opportunity the Holy Spirit can give us to respond, and that we ought to respond. Speak the truth.
You still
That's
there?
My comment.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Randy. I absolutely believe that's true. These are opportunities for Christians to come forward in ways that are consequential in the earth and in ways that where we are the ambassadors of the one true and living God.
But you see, I agree with him, but you know, if you go home and say to your wife, boy, I tell you what, I was talking to Chuck Rather today on the Bible study, you see this Lady Gaga song, this is just awful, and she goes, yeah, it's just awful. And then on Sunday morning in Bible class, the folks that gather there at Peace Indicator, and you say, boy, we talked about this on the radio earlier this week. This is just awful. And everybody in your class says, yeah, that's just awful. Well, that's one thing. And it's useful. I'm not putting that down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same as walking into a kind of a free fall zone where somebody there that you say this to might go, you know what? I think less of you now, Dr. Belton, because you took that position. That's a different place. We'll be right back.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
When children hear music, they want to dance. The Ariana String Quartet and the Modern American Dance Company will guide the young listener in your life through a hands-on journey to explore rhythm, breath, and expressive movement on May 1st at 3 p.m. at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Children can learn to explore and experience music in new ways and be creative in expressing themselves through it. This program is for children in kindergarten through fifth grade. Visit twohill.org for more information.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
While at a meeting of pro-life leaders, I visited with David B. Wright, head of 40 Days for Life. A couple times a year, this group holds a prayerful pro-life presence in front of abortion mills throughout the nation. I asked David how the current event was going. A concerned look crossed his face as he told of a man bringing a woman in for an abortion having threatened a 40 Days for Life participant with a semi-automatic pistol. She simply offered him a pro-life brochure. Abortion is inherently evil, and Satan fools a lot of people into thinking it's a good thing to kill an unborn baby. Police later identified the man but have not arrested or charged him. Please pray for pro-lifers in front of abortion mills, and please pray for those who believe Satan's lies.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Singer, wife, and mom. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. For Christian singer Francesca Battistelli, touring is now a family affair with her husband.
He's the band leader, and so, you know, he's kind of the point man for our whole crew, and that's awesome.
On their just-completed Winter Jam tour, they also brought along their son Matthew, who was only a few months old.
I was nervous. I didn't know if he would be a good baby or, you know, how he was going to take to road life, but we're blessed that he's just such an easy baby, and he goes to anyone. He's super adaptable, and we had a nanny out with us, which made it a lot easier because we wouldn't have nowhere to go while we were on stage if we didn't have her.
Battistelli says touring can be tiring, but she's blessed to be able to do it with her family.
If I can just keep doing this for as long as I can, I'll be happy. You know, just getting to travel and really do what I love and do it with my family is more than I could have dreamt of.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Concordia Publishing House.
Conflicting ideas about what marriage is and isn't may cause you to ask, what does it all mean? Marriage by God's Design from Concordia Publishing House is a complete kit that will foster meaningful discussion about the joys and challenges of married and single living. Concordia Publishing House at cph.org.
Our April Share-a-thon is over, but our Share-a-thon total continues to grow. At last check, your generous and faithful giving has now exceeded $120,000 and includes 79 new day sponsor commitments. We thank our Lord and we thank you for giving us yet another successful Share-a-thon. If you haven't been able to contribute to Share-a-thon but would like to, call 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727 and ask to speak to Joni. Thanks again for your generous support for Share-a-thon 2011 and KFUO Radio. It used to be that Christians could look forward to the Easter celebration, the Easter Sunday celebration that is before us at the end of this Holy Week, with anticipation, even with some joy, to look forward to celebrating the Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday services with a serious and sober kind of an approach. But now it seems that the world is ever more intent on pulling the rug out from under Easter, discrediting the resurrection, questioning creation, the whole business. And Lady Gaga has taken her shot with this song that we've been talking about here with our guest, Pastor Victor Belton, Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. Before we move on to another subject, just want to close this one up here, Doctor. The question that let me put it this way. It seems to me that on questions like this one, where the church has been provoked, where somebody has done something that is provocative toward what it is that we believe, it seems like what we do is we have a flurry, if that, of activity internally. Mm-hmm. We all look at each other and say, well, isn't that just terrible? I just can't blah, 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 blah. And then we all go, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then we're done. And almost nobody speaks out into the marketplace of ideas to reject this or to take it on or, to use your term, push it back. And so it goes unabated. It just continues. Next year it'll be worse because the church externally remains largely silent. And I don't know if that's the godly thing to do, as Jesus stood silent before his accusers, or whether or not we have let our Lord down with our silence. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there are times when we should be more the church militant and less the church napping and thinking. And to his credit, our current president, Matthew Harrison, when the legislature was considering the Don't Ask, Don't Tell legislation, he broadcast an email that requested pastors and their people to actually write their representatives and to say, we do not support Don't Ask, Don't Tell because of the undue influence and stress it will place on folks in our chaplain corps. And I think that is an excellent way of pushing back and of making our concerns known in a way that can be heard and regarded. And I pray that hope our president does much more of that in pulling us into the public square, because perhaps what that does is begins to wake us up. So we're not caught on this one, stuck on this one Lady Gaga issue, but we're looking at the larger picture of what's the church's place and what's the church's word regarding the arts and media overall.
All right, let's take this phone call. Our telephone numbers are 505-7850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Chet, you're on the Bible study.
Yes, thank you very much. Pastor Bill, are you actually in Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just down your way. The weather was great, but the pollen was murder, as you said.
Yeah, man.
I have a mind to try to look you up next time I'm down that way.
Please do.
All right.
1579 okay. Columbia Drive or PastorBelton.com.
I'm sure I can locate you. Hey, Chuck, do you have any idea who wrote the lyrics to this song by Lady Gaga?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let me see if I can Google around and find out.
Yeah, because, you know, is she coming up with her own twisted theology, or her writers putting the stuff out there, and surely she's twisted enough to go ahead and sing it? But the comment you made, Pastor Bellner, about that the arts have value, you know, that's significant. When you all started this conversation, the first thing I thought about was the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that will listen to that song and be influenced by it and think nothing of it. You know, people look at faith today as if it's a joke, especially Christian faith.
Yeah.
It's just something the church do needs to respond to, it because people we encounter every day are being influenced by things of this nature. And like the caller said earlier, this is an opportunity for us to correct the matter by witnessing to them about the truth of God's word. So, you know, you talk about the church militant, you know, I just have a passion that rather than just being pew members who sit in the church on Sunday, we need to actively get out here and carry the word forth like our Savior instructed the apostles to do. You know, it's an important thing, I think.
Exactly that.
All right, thank you very much.
Exactly that, Chuck. I couldn't agree more that we just need to engage our local community, our churches, our legislatures, our schools, and with the conversation around the value of music and the arts.
Here's Ms. Harris is calling at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You're on with Dr. Belton. Good morning.
Amen, Dr. Belton. I wholeheartedly agree.
Good morning. Thank you.
Lady Gaga, there is a place you know, and she has a place in the media and in the entertainment industry, but Lady Gaga should not be raising our children.
There we are.
As parents, we are the ones that have the responsibility for raising our children when the media and the entertainment industry supersedes what you're supposed to be doing as parents, then that is a problem.
There we are. I think that's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. Our children should not be raised by Lady Gaga or the guy on the other end of the iPod or the game at the other side of the iPad or Nintendo or whatever that thing happens to be in this season. Yes, we are responsible for raising our children. I think that is so well said.
And we want rights. Everybody wants their rights. But nobody seems to want any responsibility nowadays. And we have a responsibility to raise our children, and we're not doing it.
Yes, we do.
I think we know where Ms. Harris stands on that. Thank you very much for calling.
That's clear.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. By the way, I don't encourage anybody to go to this place, but at the Lady Gaga website, she has a little article that says, Judas inspired me to write this song.
Oh.
So apparently she wrote it. It's about Judas, and she apparently thinks she's in touch with Judas somehow. Let's take this call from Rick. Hi, Rick, you're on the Bible study.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Dr. Belton, I called in just to, at first, for this one reason only, to wish you a very blessed Easter. I so enjoy hearing you when you're on the Bible study or the Ask the Pastor.
Well, thank you, sir, and blessed Easter to you as well.
Thank you. But hearing some of the conversation reminds me of a verse. I don't know where it's located, but Paul speaks about there's a lot of people out there that aren't Christians, and this is to our shame. And today in America, I think 99% of the people have heard about Jesus, but very few have seen Jesus. And even though we may not get a chance to converse with a lot of people, they can see by our actions who we are,
yes,
who we represent.
Yeah.
And you said some of your best friends were pastors. We've been blessed to have one of your friends on the radio here with the Bible study here recently. I think it was the first time he was on a couple of weeks ago.
So. Was it George Murdaugh?
He did
a fabulous job.
Yeah. I bet he did. He's a theologian.
All right, thank you, Rick.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Now, Pastor Belton, the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights is pushing back. The league's president, Bill Donahue, said, quote, "This is a stunt. People have real talent, and then there is Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga tries to continue to shock Catholics and Christians in general. She dresses as a nun. She swallows the rosary. She has now morphed into a caricature of herself. She is trying to rip off Christian idolatry to shore up her talentless, mundane, and boring performances. Maybe if she had more talent, we'd be more offended. She has gone to the well too many times." Unquote. Well, you got to admit, he's pushing back. What do you think of his response?
Well, God bless him. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, if that's what he feels like he needs to do. You know, but for my vantage point, I would rather say one eyeball to eyeball word to a young person than to speak a word into this vacuum that ultimately becomes mass media where nobody hears, except for now they're hating on Lady Gaga. So, not hating on Lady Gaga, don't necessarily care about Lady Gaga one way or the other, frankly. She's definitely not worth, for me, a bunch of pen and ink, but she would be worth a conversation with young people that I can identify who would be influenced by her.
So, you know, I think I can just see Dr. Victor Belton initiating those conversations with your young people. I know enough about you that's easy for me to envision.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are a lot of pastors, particularly older guys, who may be a little bit more disconnected from their young people, who just can't go there. They're just too square. They're just too out of touch. They don't even know who Lady Gaga is. And it's not going to be brought up. And there's going to be a gap between... There are some young pastors who fit this description.
Sure, there would be.
And they don't, they, you know, they spend time in Luther's small catechism, and they spend time, you know, in various doctrines of the church, which is all well and good. But the Lady Gaga question goes unanswered, unaddressed by a lot of guys.
See, now, Chuck, I'm going to get in trouble.
Uh-oh.
But it's full malice aforethought. I'm going to go to Ephesians 4 that talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why do we continue to try to balance the church that's supposed to be a five-legged stool on one leg that is the pastor? Somebody in every local congregation, or the Bible's wrong, has the gift of evangelist, has the gift of teacher. These are young folk, young people and old people, and male and female and middle age. Why would we try to put all of that on the pastor when there are other folks that are closer to the age range, that are theologians, that of as much knowledge as the pastor, now given all of the access we have to theological knowledge and books and internet and that kind of thing, and KFUO, as a matter of fact. And so there are people there, if not the pastor, some elder, some teacher, some evangelist, someone who would be able to have that conversation with young people if they were released to do that. I think our church is diminished very often. The church of God is diminished very often because we continue to try to balance what should be a five-legged stool on one leg that is the pastor.
Another caller at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Jan, you're next on the Bible study.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Pastor Belton.
Hello, Miss Jan. How are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful to hear from you.
You are, too. I was calling about the same thing. Tell me the Holy Spirit doesn't listen to our hearts.
Yes, He does.
I think that we do society a disservice when we in the body do not function correctly and completely. And, yeah, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 talk about the spiritual gift.
Here we are.
And can you give us some insight on 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, which says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts." I always thought of the priesthood of believers as maybe wedges in a pie.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives me, you know, more lateral. This gives me a vertical sense. So, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
The prophecy is higher than, say, helping. Or,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what the doctor has to say. Thank you.
You know, I think that before the cross, in terms of our salvation, there's only level ground. And so it's a horizontal playing field. There is no hierarchical stuff. But on that horizontal playing field, there are these people who are set with giftings that are meant to engage and bless and increase the entire body. There are people with giftings on that horizontal field who are to be encouragers of the sheep. Pastors, there are people on that horizontal field who are to exercise authority and to set order in churches. We call them district presidents, that kind of thing. And so the way that I view it is that it's all level ground. It's a horizontal playing field. But within that, there are these set gifts that folks are supposed to function in that then edify the entire body. So we're very careful to say that apostles are higher than pastors, are more important in the work than teachers. The greater gifts, I think, end up being tempered by the more excellent way, which is the way that says I love God and love my neighbor enough to sacrifice myself and to serve them despite what it is that I might be doing with what I esteem is a higher gift or a higher calling. Because after all is said and done, if we esteem ourselves as a greater gift, it doesn't move us up the ladder. If that were the case, the greater gift would go further down the ladder.
I want to change the subject here, Pastor Belton, and actually wanted to have a little bit more time to discuss this next issue, but we'll do what we can here. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to our previous hour with Pastor John Schmidtke, but he was making a point where he said that there was somebody in his church who came to church, I don't think this was yesterday, but somewhere in the past, came to church on a Palm Sunday, and then on the way out of church said to Pastor Schmidtke, well, I'll see you in 2 weeks. And apparently the purpose of that comment was that he was offended by those Christians who only come to church on Christmas and Easter. And so he was going to skip Easter services and then come back to church the week after. Now, I have here a story on Christian Newswire. The headline is, Pastor Recommends to Christians, this pastor, by the way, just for the record, is not Pastor John Schmidtke or Dr. Victor Belton.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pastor Recommends to Christians, celebrate Easter anywhere except at church. From Colorado Springs, Colorado, Easter is one of two holidays that typically draws even casual Christians to church, but one pastor says the church is the one wrong place to celebrate the holiday. The Reverend Eric Foley, author of the new book, The Whole Life Offering, and pastor of the Doors of the World Evangelical Church that meets simultaneously in Colorado Springs and in Seoul, Korea, says that according to the Bible, the proper place to celebrate Easter is on the road. Foley says, lock the front door of the church on Easter morning and post a sign there that says, he is not here, he is risen. That's the message the angel shares when the women came to anoint Jesus' body on Easter morning. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Whether it's the disciples who meet Jesus on the road to Emmaus or the apostles who are called out of the upper room and on to Galilee, the Easter message is clear. If you want to meet Jesus, hit the road. And your take?
I you know, it's interesting. So if you really want to have an appreciation for Jesus incarnate, let's all go to the stable. You know what I mean? And so it all becomes these extremes, doesn't it? Come on, guys. Let's get out of the extreme stuff on either the right, the only place you can do it is in church, or the left. You can never do it in church, and the only place you can do it is in the street. Well, God's in, the Lord is Lord of both of those, isn't he? And so, no, it's not only in the street, and it's not only in the church. There is this place where it's fitting to celebrate with brothers and sisters, and to not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but to meet together to celebrate salvation, and then to go and then to do the thing that we don't do, which he offers a corrective for, which is then go out and tell the good news. But see, what we do with the corrective is we say we push it to the extreme and say, well, you got to be in church if it's going to happen, or if you're in church, it'll never happen. And so I mitigate against both those extremes, a pox on both their houses, and I say, let's go to church, let's meet the Lord Jesus Christ, let's encourage one another in grace and faith, let's strengthen one another, and let's encourage one another to go out and proclaim the good news.
I'm going to put the best construction on this and say that I can understand that it could be good for the people of God to get out from inside the comfort of their four walls, their four church walls, and actually take the message of Jesus to people who haven't heard it. I understand that dynamic.
Absolutely.
How is it that, in this case, a pastor can get that very worthy dynamic, all twisted up into posting a sign on the door for people walking up to church for Easter services and going, he's not here. You do that, Dr. Belton, and you won't stop hearing about it for the next 5 years.
If I did that, I shouldn't stop hearing about it for the next 5 years. There will be people, and I'm sure John Smicky is one of my preacher friends.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that he said, I was listening in a little bit, that come, because we'll be talking about Jesus. We'll be claiming his life, death, and resurrection. We'll be proclaiming the blood that cleanses us from all of our sin on Easter. And we'll be proclaiming the Great Commission to go out and disciple in his name, to be his representatives in the earth. Somebody who's in church on Easter Sunday morning will need to hear that. And not only the somebody who only comes once or twice a year, but maybe the guy who's been sitting there for the last 51 weeks, for whom it's never really clicked, would need to be there to hear it as well. And so
do you think the guy is just trying to sell a book?
Hmm?
Is the guy just trying to sell his book? Is that what he's doing?
Oh, no, I believe he believes what he's saying. He's offering a corrective to the fact that the church is asleep. But he has gone so far now on the other side that it's a bit unreasonable.
Well, I always find this to be interesting. There's always somebody looking for a new angle, and people like to they like to shock us, I guess.
Yeah, they like to try to shock value. Let's not do KFUO anymore, because if we really want to proclaim the gospel, what we want to do is we want to go out and we want to be in the street. And so let's just do it in front of a supermarket, the KFUO broadcast, or let's just see what happens. You know, when we go out and do those extremes, it makes us do things that are not in the best interest, in our best interest, or in the best interest of the kingdom of God.
Apparently, this gentleman, this pastor, Eric Foley, has a lot of people. He's doing simultaneous church in Colorado Springs and Seoul, South Korea. Doesn't say how big his church here is, but apparently some of his other ideas have been popular.
You can have a lot of people and never change your life. You can have a lot of people and be completely insignificant. Ask the folks that have 40,000 people in a football stadium cheering for whatever team it is. Completely inconsequential. Ask how, and I am in no way saying smaller is better, because I would love to have a couple hundred more people, but I am saying that numbers does not equate to accuracy in terms of proclamation, nor does it equate with effectiveness in terms of the proclamation of the word.
Here's one more quote. The pastor says, in the early church, commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ meant more than dressing up and going to church before a family dinner. It was the starting line for discipleship. New believers joined Christ in his death and resurrection, and in hitting the road to share the love of God, whether at a soup kitchen, a park, or a mall. Easter is a day best spent looking for and sharing Jesus in the community.
When would that not be true? Every day is a day when we're to be looking for and investing ourselves in the proclamation and extension of the kingdom of God in the community.
Blessed Holy Week to you, sir.
Blessed Holy Week to you as well.
And I'm just going
to
wish you a happy Easter.
And the listeners of KFUO.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Peace to you.
That's Dr. Victor Belton. He is a pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. I was watching one of the Ken Burns Civil War pieces the other day, and they showed Sherman in Atlanta, and right there on the east side of Atlanta, it says Decatur. Civil War town, I guess. Pastor Tom Eckstein tomorrow, 2 Peter 1.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.